the rest of the story. Here we used to call them streetcars or trolleys. In London, they call them trams. You are on a tram in London. It is a lovely day, not at all a setting for human conflict or disturbance. Lazily, you daydream out the window. The tram stops at the corner. There's the usual exchange of parting passengers and boarding pedestrians. The tram starts to move again. Your attention is not really focused on the conductor as he walks up the aisle taking fares. You've seen him do it many times before, but then you notice that he's taking more than the usual amount of time with one of the passengers, so your interest is piqued and you begin to listen to the conversation. It seems the passenger has no money for his fare. You wonder at this. He's not poorly dressed. He does not appear to be the sort of bloke who would attempt to cheat the tram line. No, it's like this, the passenger explains. He only carries with him the precise amount of money he needs in order to conduct the affairs of each day, and in this case, all he needed was money for the tram, and it appears that he'd forgotten the required tuppence. Well, now you're studying this man's face. His eyes are penetrating and yet kind. His nose is prominent, rather broad. His cheeks are round and merry. His hair is light and straight, combed to one side. His beard with mustache is full, well-groomed. Your consideration of his features is distracted by the sharp words of the conductor. If the passenger does not have the tuppence for his fare, he'll be put off at the next corner. The man nods, unprotesting. He doesn't complain that he'll be stranded far from his destination, which he will. He doesn't try to reassure the conductor that he'll repay him, which he would. He says nothing. When the tram stops, he allows himself to be ushered, meek as a lamb, to the street. And as he disappears in the distance, his face flashes before you once more. Yes, you have seen that face. Yes, you know that man. The man ushered off the tram at the London street corner was neither too poor to afford the fare, nor so absent-minded that he had forgotten his wallet. Surely psychologists will have some unpronounceable word for it. It's not a phobia exactly. It's simply an abhorrence, a pronounced distaste, either for carrying or for handling money. I'm not talking about those who hold money in low regard on philosophical or moral or religious bases. This man had no logical explanation for his feelings, but the impetus for his aversion was intangible. Money just felt dirty. And that was that. Various childhood experiences may have suggested the cause. When he was a young boy, his father's business failed, much to the disadvantage of his family. But for whatever reason, we know his discomfort in physical proximity to cash, and frequently it inconvenienced his adult years. He considered money dirty. He did not like to handle money. And the irony of this uncommon situation was that everything he touched turned to money. The streetcar passenger, once ejected for the lack of two pennies, the man who would rather have had a pocket full of worms than a wallet full of cash, chose a life of philanthropy as a novel solution to his dilemma, to library research projects, and to world peace. He gave his money away. Money he couldn't help but make, but couldn't wait to get rid of. A sum of about $330 million. His name was Andrew Carnegie. Now you know the rest of the story.